Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the main evening news at 5 o'clock. In this bulletin, a status orange weather warning is in place in Donegal today. The Taoiseach has accused Deputy Piers Doherty of talking out of both sides of his mouth amid more clashes in the Dáil today. The new primary curriculum framework for all primary and special schools in Ireland has been launched, and the government is urged to take a more hardline approach to fishing rights around Rockall. All this and more, Oisin Kelly will be live at 5:15 with the latest in sport. A status orange weather warning is in place in Donegal and 12 other counties today. Further spells of sleet and snow are expected, combined with strong east to northeast winds. Met Éireann says there will be significant accumulations of snow in some areas, along with icy conditions. They say there is a strong possibility of very hazardous road conditions, travel disruptions and poor visibility. The warning is in place from now until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. The Taoiseach has accused Deputy Piers Doherty of talking out of both sides of his mouth. During another heated exchange in the Dáil this afternoon, during leaders' questions, Deputy Piers Doherty launched an attack of the government over housing crises affecting the country. In responding, Taoiseach Micheál Martin attempted to defend the government's actions, with the Ciocán once again having to interject in an attempt to restore some order.
We've already decided, and you know this too, immediate measures. Over 3,000 additional homes to be provided, to 1,500 acquisitions in the context of the in-situ directive that the Minister is issuing to local authorities. Basically, that local authorities, where a person is in difficulty or under the threat of eviction, the local authority is to purchase that house. In terms of the CAF funding adjustments, another 1,000 units to be provided, again facilitating those who could be in under difficulty. And then the opportunity to buy initiative on top of that, whereby first call would be on the tenant or indeed after that then and approved. You asked the question, I'm giving you the answer. In the real world, you said that was dealt with.
Deputy Doherty.
That was dealt with, though. That was dealt with.
Deputy Doherty.
That was dealt with. You said it was dealt with.
Sorry, Tony. Would Deputy Doherty please have some respect for the chair?
The opportunity to refuse. No, the first refusal to the tenant and then an approved housing body. And that is, I think, an initiative that is very important in terms of enabling people to have alternatives to being homeless. And plus, the transition to a cost rental option also.
Would you please... Would you like me to suspend the House if you're going to keep this interruption? Would you like me to suspend the House? Because that's what I will do if you persist.
Very serious matter.
I do not provoke me, please.
Cross-border cooperation between the Gardaí and the PSNI is continuing in an effort to find gunmen who try to murder one of Northern Ireland's top detectives. Detective Chief Inspector John Caldwell remains in a critical condition in hospital after he was shot several times in Omagh 2 weeks ago. Garda Commissioner Drew Harris said the level of cooperation is very strong and should not be portrayed otherwise.
We're ready then to support them in terms of any of their operational requirements, and that's carried on as well. We are continuing to support them. We continue then to respond to their requests for information, and indeed then we stand ready in any way to assist them around the investigation, either be it the sharing of intelligence or retrieving evidence. So the cooperation is very strong and couldn't be portrayed in any other way and shouldn't be.
The government is being urged to take a more hardline approach to the British government's 12-mile exclusion zone around Rockall. In the Dáil this morning, Junior Minister Martin Hayden says the government doesn't accept the limit and is involved in diplomat efforts to ensure traditional fishing patterns are continued.
Ireland has never made any claims to Rockall, nor has Ireland ever recognised UK sovereignty claims over Rockall, and accordingly has not recognised the 12 nautical mile territorial sea around it either. Government is committed to finding a way forward on this issue that will support the important commercial fisheries around Rockall. We will continue to work closely with Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Micheál Martin TD, over the coming period to address issues involved. And to this end, Irish officials are in active, ongoing contact with their Scottish counterparts on possible way forward.
However, Deputy Padraig McLaughlin called the limit outrageous and urged government to seek international arbitration. He told the Dáil that it's an important fishing ground, particularly for boats based in Greencastle.
This is absolutely outrageous. There is no basis in international law for putting a nautical mile limit around an uninhabited rock. This is an uninhabited rock. Under the UN Convention of the Law of the Sea, UN Clause, there's no basis for this. How on earth are the Irish government tolerating this? How has it not been taken to international arbitration? Why did the Irish government sign off on the Maritime Jurisdiction Bill that's signed off on access for the British government control of that area at a time that they're negotiating to reinstate our traditional fishing grounds to our fishermen? We have tolerated a situation where they exclude us from our own traditional fishing grounds in Rockall. Up to 30% of the value in somewhere like Greencastle is just gone. And 2 years we've allowed this to happen. There's no basis in international law. This is an uninhabited rock. You can't put a 6 mile or 12 mile limit around an uninhabited rock. It's utter nonsense. Why are we tolerating this?
Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle has called on the government to take action to ensure banks provide access to cash. He says AIB's failed attempt to remove cash from banks was a demonstration that stakeholders are their priority, not the public. He further condemned the decision to go cashless at a number of major music venues, as well as the GAA moving to an online ticketing system. He says as a result, a cohort of people are being disadvantaged.
Unfortunately, due to the bank's profit-driven model, I do not believe that this will be the last time a bank attempts to go cashless. It is for this reason that we need to put measures in place to stop this. And the government is not a neutral observer. They need to be proactive in this case and make sure that the legislation is in place that stops the move to cashless. Society is becoming increasingly cashless, with contactless becoming increasingly popular. We can accept this fact while at the same time ensuring that cash is still an option. It's not acceptable to have fully cashless venues or businesses, as it severely disadvantages some cohorts more than others, particularly senior citizens, young people, those on low incomes and homeless people as well. Cash is legal tender and so venues and businesses should be obliged to accept it. I was particularly disappointed with the GAA's move to an online-centric ticket system. It has severely impacted many older people in particular, some avid fans for many years. Having to buy a ticket online in advance is a nightmare. It requires people not only to have a bank account but also to have a computer and internet access. This is particularly difficult for those of us living in rural Ireland with very weak broadband connections. The fibre broadband rollout may seem like something of the past for those here in the capital, but there are still many areas in my constituency of Donegal that have serious connection issues and will not be getting fibre broadband until 25 or 26. This in itself is unacceptable, but the fact that we are now limiting access to Gaelic games is completely discriminatory for those people that it affects.
There's calls for parts of the Inishowen Peninsula to be included in Donegal County Council's winter gridding programme to facilitate access all year round. Councillor Johnny McGuinness believes the Inishowen 100 and the Wild Atlantic Way should be reclassified in order for them to be gridded due to a number of schools currently omitted and to facilitate travel to business in the area. Councillor McGuinness fears those unfamiliar with locality could be caught out on many of the untreated roads.
The entirety of the Inishowen 100 and the Wild Atlantic Way, for that matter, anywhere where there isn't an overlap, to be reclassified as an important route that is a point of necessity. Access must be granted along that route all year round, because the tourism sector doesn't just shut off, you know, after the summer holidays. There's still a large number of people that come visit. And as recently as a fortnight ago, I had an Italian couple that had been visiting here, had been travelling through the village of Quillaff on their way to Malinhead, made it to the crossroads at Drummaville, and then were met with an untreated road surface.
249 over 65s in Donegal were on the HSE's home support waiting list at the end of 2022. The waiting list of people in need of a home care in Ireland increased by 25% between December 21 and December 2022. Michaela Clark has more.
The number of people on the home support waiting list in Donegal has increased 193% within the 12 months to December 2022. According to Home and Community Care Ireland, as of December last year, 249 over 65s were in need of a carer. That's up from 85 during the same period in 2021. In the CHO1 area, which covers Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim, Cavan and Monaghan, a total of 735 people were on the waiting list, representing an increase increase of 101% on figures from December 2021.
The new primary curriculum framework for all primary and special schools in Ireland has been launched. Education Minister Norma Foley says the framework places the child at the centre of the learning process. Sean O'Regan reports.
The Education Minister has this morning unveiled the framework for all primary and special schools, which has an increased emphasis on STEM subjects, foreign languages and well-being. Under the new framework, schools will have a dedicated structure underpinning learning, teaching and assessment. Minister Norma Foley says while religion hours are being cut, flexi time offers schools the chance to focus on other subjects.
So there is flexi time available to the schools where the schools, and they will know best what areas need to be more augmented. That could be across any area.
She adds that primary school children in Ireland will be learning foreign languages by September 2025.
There's a body of work that needs to be done there, and that work will now begin, and we will see that in our schools in 25.
Owen Dolan, who's the principal of Mother of Divine Grace National School in Dublin, says broadening the curriculum is a positive move.
I definitely think for different type of learners, well, you know, the broader range might suit them a little bit better. I suppose it's again just trying to gauge how we're going to do that on a practical level.
Various elements of the programme will be introduced into schools on a phase basis, and students will be encouraged to be both an active learner and an active citizen. The Department of Education says the framework sets out the vision and principles for a redeveloped modern curriculum.
Ireland is still one of the cheapest places in Europe for mortgage rates, even though they've increased dramatically in the last 3 years. The average rate for Irish customers is currently at its highest since October 2019. It follows a raft of aggressive increases from the European Central Bank in an effort to tackle inflation. Derek Cassidy from bonkers.ie says it's a matter of time before those are passed on.
The average Eurozone rate has actually more than doubled over the course of around a year. In Ireland, the increase has been far less dramatic for now, and the banks have been quite slow to pass on the ECB rate increases, at least initially. But unfortunately, that's beginning to change, and that's beginning to feed through into the figures.
The time is 12 minutes past five. We'll be back with Oisin Kelly for the latest in sport after this short break. The time is 5:15. We're heading over to Oisin Kelly for the latest in sport.
Marie, we're going to start with golf. Rory McIlroy has endured a tough start to the Players' Championship. With five to play in his opening round, he sits on 3 over par. That's currently 9 off the pace. Shane Lowry and Seamus Power are teeing off shortly, either side of 6 o'clock. Offaly native Lowry carded a hole-in-one at the tournament last year and is hoping for more big moments this week.
It really is like a major championship venue. It's it does test every part of your game. Conditions are generally, when we play at this time of year, they're tricky around here. And that was incredibly cool, that last year. And hopefully I'll add a few more highlights this year.
Colin Morikawa and Chad Ramsey are the joint leaders at Sawgrass at the moment at 6 under par. Tom McKibben is 5 off the lead on 2 under following his opening round at the Kenyan Open. John Catchlin and Dylan Mosert are the joint clubhouse leaders in Nairobi at 7 under par. The Manchester United squad are determined to use Sunday's thrashing by Liverpool as motivation this evening. Old Trafford stages the opening leg of their Europa League last 16 tie with La Liga club Real Betis. United come into the game off the back of a 7-0 defeat to the Merseysiders in the Premier League. Marcus Rashford is keen to make amends for that performance.
You know, the games are coming thick and fast. Because of all the principles that we've had from the beginning of the season, we're in a position where we're still fighting on all fronts and we still have a lot of games to play. So, you know, when we have a game like we did against Liverpool, we want to play as soon as possible because we want to put it right. Tomorrow hopefully we can do that.
That game kicks off at 8 o'clock, but before that, at 5:45, Arsenal are in Portugal against Sporting Lisbon. Ahead of the game, Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta has laughed off rumours linking him with a move to Real Madrid in the summer. Newspaper reports in Spain say the reigning European champions want the 40-year-old to take over from Carlo Ancelotti. Arteta says he's fully committed to the Arsenal project.
It's things that obviously managers or players cannot control. What is written, what I can tell you is I'm fully focused in what I'm doing here and extremely happy, proud and grateful to be in this football club, and that's it.
Well, among the early kickoffs as well in the Europa Conference League last 16, it's the meeting of AEK Larnaca as they take on Premier League side West Ham United. Finn Harps will host Wexford Youths in the League of Ireland First Division tomorrow. Keith Cowan is a doubt for the tie. The captain had tightness of his hamstring in the draw with Bray. The club say he is responding well to treatment and rehabilitation this week and will hopefully be okay to start on Friday. On the Score programme later this evening, it's top heavy with football. Jeremy Doherty is joined by Gavin Cullen to look ahead to Coghill Celtic's FAI Intermediate Cup quarterfinal in Dublin. Gavin will also look ahead to Finn Harps against Wexford and Derry City's clash with Dundalk in the League of Ireland. It was a big week on the school's front with Skull Warra Buncrana and Pubble Skull Gwydor winning All-Ireland titles. We hear from their managers, Paddy Carr and Padraic McGinley. Plus, Cairn FC celebrated league success last week. Manager Jared Crossan will join the show as well. That's the Score tonight after the 7 o'clock news. In rugby, Jonathan Sexton has ruled himself out of a direct transition into the Leinster coaching staff. The Ireland captain is to retire after this year's World Cup, while Leinster senior coach Stuart Lancaster is leaving for Racing. Leo Cullen's two-year Leinster extension was signed with continuity in mind, but Sexton says he won't be part of the backroom staff next season. Owen Farrell has been dropped by England head coach Steve Borthwick for the Six Nations meeting with France. Marcus Smith starts at out half in his place, and what is the only change to the team that beat Wales? The English will be captained by Ellis Genge. And finally, in cycling, Sam Bennett is placed seventh today in the bunch sprint that ended the fifth stage of the Paris-Nice. The stage was won by Ul Coy of Jumbo Visma. Tadej Pogacar retained the leader's yellow jersey, but his lead has now been cut to 6 seconds by David Gaudu. That's your sport for the moment. Donna Marie.
Thank you very much, Oisin. The time is 19 minutes past 5 o'clock. Here is Chris Ashmore with the latest news and views in farming.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about the new Suckler Carbon Efficiency Programme known as SCEP, and also the increasing amount of farm plastic waste that is being recycled. But first, the Green Low Carbon Agri-Environmental Scheme balancing payments have begun this week. The payments come 2 months ahead of schedule. This means that over €22 million in balancing payments will be made to 36,500 farmers who are participating in GLOSS, many of them in Donegal. Commenting on the payments, Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConnellogue said that the payments will commence from tomorrow and will be issued to 84% of GLOSS participants. Well, the new Suckler Carbon Efficiency Programme will open for applications in the next few days. Big interest in this, of course, and delighted to say Adam Woods, beef editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, has joined me to explain a little bit more about it. So, first of all, Adam, there are some changes to this new programme.
There are indeed, Chris, and there's a little bit of contention around some of those changes. One of the biggest ones, I guess, is joining the Board B Equality Assurance Scheme. So that's one of the requirements of joining the new Suckler Carbon Efficiency Programme. We're calling it the SCEP for short. And farmers won't get paid in 2023 or any other year of the five-year programme unless they are fully approved members of the Board B Equality Assurance Scheme. Initially, it had been envisaged that farmers needed to join the Board B scheme before applications are submitted for the SCEP. But there's a little bit of leeway going to come in there in that if a suckler farmer applies to SCEP now when it opens up in the next couple of days and they don't get into Board B Equality Assurance until October or during the summer, that's fine and the department will okay that as a valid application. But you need to get into Board B Equality Assurance and you need to stay in it for 5 years. And I guess there's some frustration out there, especially among suckler to weaning farmers who are saying that there isn't a lot of benefit or merit in being in that Board B because they're not slaughtering animals and they're not getting that 20 cent a kilo bonus on animals if they slaughter them. So there's a bit of frustration there, but to be honest, I can't see any changes on that one. Some of the other changes are around stars. So in the past, it was 50% 4 and 5-star cows by the end of the BDGP programme. By the end of this one, that needs to be 75%. So a bit of a change there. And another huge one is the 80% of cows born from 4 or 5-star sires in year one of the programme, which is 2023. Now, the IFA met the Department of Agriculture on this, and I think maybe there's going to be a solution to this in that this could be kicked on to 2024.
Yeah, and just in very simple terms, like, what is the difference between a 4-star and a 5-star sire?
The cow population in Ireland is ranked from 1-star to 5-star. 1-star being in the bottom 20% in terms of genetics, and 5-star being in the top 20% for their genetics. So there has been research done that 4 and 5-star animals are probably a little bit more carbon efficient. They probably calve maybe every year as opposed to maybe 14, 15 months for maybe 1-star cows. So as regards meeting our climate change targets and our environmental targets for the next couple of years, it's important that we use the best genetics. So I think it's a tool, and it should be used as a tool to assess in terms of selecting bulls or selecting cows in your herd and used as a breeding tool.
And finally, Adam, the department is targeting at least 20,000 applications for this new suckler carbon efficiency programme. Is there a concern that there will be a full uptake?
Yeah, there is. The department are actually a little bit worried about getting that 20,000 applications in, because if we cast our minds back to 2015, when BDGP started, and this is the replacement for BDGP, there was a lot of meetings around the country, and there was a lot of vocal farmers said that no way would BDGP work, and it would desolate the country, and we shouldn't be going down this road. A lot of farmers listened to that, I suppose, shouting, and they didn't enter it, and they regretted after not entering it. So what I've been saying in the paper this week is, look, go to one of the meetings. There's 10 meetings going to be organised now around the country. I'm sure there's going to be one in Donegal. I'm not sure of all the dates and the venues, but what I'd say to farmers is go to one of those meetings, listen to what has been said at the meeting. It's your opinion as to how it will work on your farm, because that's who will have to meet the targets for the next number of years. And look, it's €150 a cow for the first 10 cows. It's €120 after that. And I would say to farmers to give it the time it needs over the next few weeks to assess whether you apply or not. A lot of farmers have asked questions about, can I drop out after year three? No, you have to commit to 5 years. But for the ones that want to stay, it definitely is very, very important. It's €250 million into the suckler herd over the next 5 years. So I'd urge everybody to give it the time, as I said, and see whether it applies to your farm or not.
And that was Adam Woods, beef editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. The amount of plastic waste from farms has been recycled at record levels, and Donegal farmers are certainly playing their part. Liam Maloney is the general manager with the Irish Farm Films Producer Group, which coordinates farm plastics recycling. It's been another very good year for the group, and he's been telling me more.
Hi, Chris. That's very true. We had a wonderful year last year. We achieved an 88% recycling rate for wrap and pit cover waste. So really, we're delighted with that. And that's the result of the key stakeholders, the farmers in particular, but also the companies who pay the recycling levy into us, playing their part. So farmers and the farm plastics sector in Ireland are certainly achieving when it comes to environmental protection at the moment.
So give us an idea of just the whole process. What happens when the farmer decides to dispose of his plastic waste in a responsible manner?
Yeah, we collect most of the waste, Chris, through a network of bring centres. We run around 220 of them each year, and they're held during the summer period. So, for example, in the case of Donegal, there might be around 9 or 10 held throughout the county during a particular month. And the farmers are invited to bring in their farm plastics waste. We take the full range of farm plastics waste, so not just the wrap and the pit covers, but also the netting and twine and fertiliser bags, feed bags and spray drums. So our contractor then takes the material from the farmers and takes it back to his yard where he bulks it up. And from there, we send it on to recycling facilities. Now, at the moment, around maybe 45% of what we collect is going to Irish recycling facilities and the rest goes abroad. We hope a situation will come about in the near future where we can send virtually all of it to Irish recycling facilities, but they don't have sufficient capacity at the moment. So at the recycling facilities, the material is it's chopped up, it's shredded, it's washed, it's dried, and then it's melted. And the end product is a little plastic pellet, which becomes the building block for new plastic products. So typically the wrap and pit cover waste is converted into refuse sacks, construction film, piping and garden furniture. But the important thing is that every last bit of it which we collect is recycled into something new.
So this is a classic example of the circular economy in operation, because what you're taking in has been reinvented as such, coming back out as a different product, and it's all staying within an economy, and that can help. So give us a couple of examples. What happens in the case, say, of fertilizer bag waste?
Yeah, in the case of fertilizer bag waste, we have a very nice circular economy story going at the moment. So we collect the fertilizer bag waste, as I say, at the Breng centres, and we supply a good share of that waste to a recycler called IFF Limited in West County Clare. And there they convert the fertilizer bag waste into fence posts, which are then sold back to farmers. So it's a really nice circular economy story. And we're trying to do more and more of that type of thing on the island of Ireland, because it's much better if we can manage the waste here, turn it into new products here, which we can use here rather than exporting it.
And if we go back 10, 20 years ago, just by comparison, what percentage was being recycled?
Well, let's say if you go back 10 years ago, we were probably at that stage collecting and recycling maybe 15, 18,000 tonnes of waste each year. We're now collecting 36, 37,000 tonnes. So we pretty much doubled it. And when I say 36, 37,000 tonnes of waste, just to give people an idea, that's the equivalent of plastic from around 18 million silage bales. So it's a vast amount of plastic. And easily at the moment, farm plastic waste is achieving the highest recycling rate of any plastic waste stream in Ireland. So, you know, the farmers are doing a wonderful job out there. And for most farmers now in Ireland, recycling their farm plastic waste every year or every second or third year has just become a mainstream activity.
And that was Liam Maloney, the general manager of the Irish Farm Films Producers Group. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
And that was the latest in farming. Moving on now to weather. Cold this evening with outbreaks of rain, sleet and snow, leading to poor visibility and hazardous road conditions. Fresh to strong and gusty northeast winds. To conclude this evening's news, a status orange weather warning is in place in Donegal today. The Taoiseach has accused Deputy Pearse Doherty of talking out of both sides of his mouth amid more clashes in the Dáil today. The new primary curriculum framework for all primary and secondary special schools in Ireland has been launched, and the government is urged to take a more hardline approach to the fishing rights around Rockall. That's all for now. We'll be back again with more news headlines at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 9th of March. The death has taken place of Rose Dinnerly, née Friel, Cheshire, England, and formerly of Ballure, Fanad. Rose's remains will repose at Mulroy Bayview, Kindrum, Fanad, from 6:30 until 10:30 tomorrow evening, with rosary at 8. House private pleas from 10:30 to 9:30 a.m. Requiem Mass in St. Columba's Church Massmount on Saturday morning at 11, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the St. Mary's Fanavolte and St. Columba's Massmount Facebook page. The death has taken place of Joe Rush, Ballybun, Castle Finn, reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Castle Finn at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via Ernie Castle Finn Parish Facebook page. The death has occurred of Myra O'Donnell, Oney Bon, Main Street, Dunloe. Her remains are reposing in Midlands Funeral Home today, with rosary at 8 o'clock tonight. Reposing at her home from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, with rosary at 8. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in Arranmore Island. Family Farrs Only pleas donations, if desired, to the Dunloe Hospital, care of any family member, or Sean Medlin, funeral director. The death has taken place of John Caldwell, 19, Connolly Homes, Mallon Town. John's remains will repose overnight in the oratory at Connolly Homes, Mallon Town. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 10, followed by cremation in Lakeland's crematorium, Cavan, at 3 o'clock. And the death has occurred of Peter Anderson, Mahara Paste, Drumbo Lower, Stranorler. Remains reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on churchservices.tv. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Patients Comfort Fund, St Joseph's Community Hospital, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. and before the funeral tomorrow. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.